Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. This is Carl. It is September the 4th, 2022, and we're going to do another one of our Bible studies. We're going to go out of the book of Judges, and we are going to start in Judges chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 16, and very shortly we'll be having our co-host. Actually, her and I cannot figure out how. I can't figure out anything on these phones or computers, how to get on as a co-host, because I can understand to you people who are listening, her and I are disjointed in the fact that I speak and she doesn't hear me for 8 seconds, and that's because of the delay on radio transmission, which is, I believe, an FCC rule. And it's difficult. And Raven is pretty sharp when it comes to knowing how to work this electronic equipment. I'm a total loss at it. You press a button 4 times and I get a cookie, I know that I got to press a button. I don't really have an understanding, and I'm just weak at it. I haven't got the interest other than doing the Bible study. But we've tried, and she's even tried to get outside help, and I guess she can't, how to become a co-host. But so what I'm going to have her do is she's just going to call in normal, which means she'll be on a little bit of a delay. But I'm going to give you a number to call in if you want to talk to us. And if you call in and talk to us, what it's going to be is you are going to you'll push 1, and that will indicate to me that you do want to talk, because there's people that listen to do not call in. If you call in and want to talk, a couple of rules that I have is the main rule, the most important, is I want to keep the question or the comment or the conversation pertinent to the topic we're talking on. And again, today we're going to speak on the book of Judges and show you where these people, in a period of about 450 years, the people being the church, Israel at the time, the church at the time, the one who believed in the true one God, they went through 9 apostasies, history has it, in 450 years. Apostasy is defined as falling away from your faith. They did it 9 times. They not only went in and God punished them, they suffered severe loss of people, I mean thousands. They suffered severe loss of God's blessings. But then they repented, and they did this 10 times, and God always took them back after repentance. The last time, remember, the culmination, the last time was the saddest of all, because the last time that they went in to an apostasy, and we read in 1 Samuel, in fact, I'll read it here, 1 Samuel, just to bring anybody up to date who's not familiar with this conversation. The very second saddest verses in the scripture, in my opinion only. To me, the most sad verses in scripture are in Matthew 7, in chapter 7, where it's verse 21 through 24, where God, Jesus Christ, actually says that many will come to me on that day and said, Lord, Lord. And he says, not everybody who calls me Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he says, and these are saying, but Lord, we taught in your synagogues. We healed people. we cast out demons. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Bear with me a minute, we have Raven here. All right,
hey,
I
there,
have
Carl.
You on. Why don't you go
hey,
ahead
Carl.
And start with an opening prayer. Can you hear me?
All right.
Hello?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. Go ahead. You can say a prayer more.
Father, we thank you for this program, for the ministries that you put us into. We are so honored to be able to serve you, Lord, and blessed by that.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you know, I just want to say that we complain about the weather, and yet we become excited when the weather starts to change, as it's doing now, and so it is with other things in our lives. You know, we tend to complain about the things that we go through, and then we begin to see just what it is that you allowed us to go through these things for. And Lord, I just ask that each and every one of us, just as I do, that we all repent of our complaining and our wailing about our troubles, because we know that you allow each of these things to pass for good in our lives, that there are things that we go through that we may not even see the good until many years down the line. And Lord, I myself repent now for those things that I may even have complained about yesterday, because I know that you will use it all for my good and for your glory. And I just ask that each person, as they listen today, will also see in the message today things in their own selves that you may be allowing them to go through, because you will work it all out for their good in the end. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay. That is, that's excellent. That's what our sermon this morning was. It was, and it really hit me hard today, because that much of my, and this is not the way it should be, folks. This is something that I am just not obeying God on. And it's not just intellectual. It's a heart issue. I am very much trusting God, and he actually started this way off. It's easy to trust God when things are going well, and we do. But when things are going bad, and he went into many situations in the scripture, in Hebrews 11, and he read verse 13 and 39, where he said twice that all these people in Hebrews 11, which are Old Testament saints, all of them died not having received the promise. And he made the comment, would you be, and this is where it hit me hard, would you be, if you were to go a lifetime or even the rest of your life, which in my case is not that long, but still, are you willing to go without receiving the promise, where you don't see that things work out for the good? In fact, all you can see is the bad. Are you still willing to trust in the sovereignty of God? And as I told my wife, Sue, I told Sue walking out, I says, you know, that's a weakness of mine. And it's got to be, not because God lied in the scripture, but the weakness is I am prone to judge my happiness, my joy, whatever phrase you want to use, based upon circumstance. And this was the punchline of his message. You cannot base your relationship with Jesus Christ and the benefits thereof on circumstances. And I am that way. And not all the time, and not terrible, but I, and you know, Raven, I am. I I just, whatever reason, I hold on to that. Is it pride? I don't think it's as much pride as it, I think I'm just not willing to take the solid food in that area. That's my opinion.
You and I were just talking about this on Friday, Carl.
Well, I know, but I'm telling you, the whole sermon was about it. And he said, you know, and he hit me because that's exactly it. I am very much prone. I can be higher than 10 kites. You know, these air balloons, every year they come over our area where people come in these hot air. I'm higher than them. I'm five times. I'm up in where the fighter pilots fly their jets in the National Guard real high until something goes wrong. And his thing is, we've got to pray that God gives us the grace to change us to where we trust in his sovereignty, even though we may never see the outcome in this earth. It was just pinpointed to me. Yes.
Carl, before you call me for our Bible study Thursday or Friday, do you call him and hook him up and let him listen in? Because
wait,
I got to tell you.
I've accused you of writing his sermons, too, so.
I'm telling
you.
You
know, Raven,
it's funny.
But, Raven, you know something? Well, I'll tell you the same thing with you. There's times when you say things that if you were 20 miles away shooting a bullet, you couldn't hit the target any more perfect than you do. I think this is God, and this is – I don't only think it. I'm positive. I think this is God using people and their abilities to put salve on open wounds. I really do.
Yes.
I thought he while he was doing it. In fact, I didn't want to take my phone out and start making phone calls, but I almost called you. But again, it's Raven. It's nothing that you're unfamiliar with. In fact, you have done a better job of dissociating yourself with worldly circumstances than even your granddaughter recognizes. But it's just that when he said that this morning, and you mentioned that several times this week. She knows you're going through trouble, and she keeps asking you, a 10-year-old, are you happy? Meaning that really you shouldn't be happy. And I'm just not, whatever the reason, I have not allowed myself to be willing to trust him in every circumstance, and that's what this sermon was about. And don't think that I'm the only one out there, folks. This was, you could hear a pin drop in that sermon, or not sermon, he read the scriptures and explained them.
Right.
But you could hear a pin drop because there's people were that way, especially in this country where we don't even, we generally don't have to worry about the bare necessities.
Right.
It was just very remindful of me what you've been telling me for at least a year now.
But, you know, that's changing, Carl.
He's not going to say anything you don't know. In fact, I'd say you and him basically have the same message that I hear.
It's when you tell me, when you bring up what his, you know, teaching is, let's call it that, what his teaching is, his sermons, his preaching, whatever you want to call it, on Sunday, when you bring that up, I'm often just, I don't want to say surprised, because I'm not really surprised at what the Holy Spirit does. I'm just, it's just those things that make you go, huh. You know, because, you know, you just say, there's the Holy Spirit, there's God working again, you know.
Well,
I mean, it's
key,
just interesting.
Raven, there's the key, and I will not be, I will unabashedly say this. Most sermons, most preaching, most teaching is academic.
Yeah.
This man does not give any studies or any teaching or any sermons based upon his sermon and his three-point sermons and all the ramifications you learn in speech class and in college and Bible college. His all doing what you do, and that is read the scripture. So I really don't see much of a difference between the way you present your stuff on Wednesday night and the way he does, just like yourself. And I've told you, there's people in church that criticize him for this. He's constantly confirming and affirming and reaffirming or showing the fallacy of what the Bible says by going to other verses. He's guided by the Holy Spirit, not to puff you up, but you are too. That's why I think we're getting the same message, Raven. I don't think it's not chance. It's not, I mean, the topics you harbor on these things, these topics that you talk about, and no matter what avenue you go to in the scripture, you always come back to the crux of it, and that is trusting God no matter what. That is, he couldn't possibly be that good or that lucky where you and he and remember Pastor Eric.
Yeah.
Pastor, the good Eric.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, this was the same way. Every week he nailed you. But it wasn't that he came up with something totally different. It just hit your little weakness every week. And it feels good. Even though he cuts you and you bleed, when he gives you the word, it just, and you have the same effect. And I'll be honest with you, you do. But it's not that you two are just a higher level of intelligence or more education. It's you're going to the same source, and that is the only teacher, and that's the Holy Spirit. There is no other way.
Yes. You know how you say, you know, it cuts you when you bleed. It's sort of like lancing a boil or something. You know,
exactly.
You're going to have that pain for a second.
Out. Right.
Yeah.
It lets
that's
the
right.
poison out.
Yes. Yep.
But
yep.
Not to puff anyone up, Raven, but Jim.
Oh.
Well,
yeah.
But there's times like the last week I mentioned to you Saturday, I mentioned to the two of you that he and I were talking about this. There's some things that I struggle with occasionally. And one week, probably 3 weeks, 3 days in a row, he kept hitting on the same problem that I had. That's got to be the Holy Spirit. If he was that good, he would own the steel mill, not work there.
Right. Yeah. You know, I tell you something, Carl. If God had allowed this ministry to work through me 5 years ago, that's exactly what it would have done, is to puff me up. It would have given me pride in this.
That's
but
why
he,
you never did.
That's right. But he allowed me to go through things so
right.
that I could be humbled enough that he could show me that, listen, it's not about me. It's all about him. And he continues to allow me to go through things for my good. So I continue to
Absolutely.
See that it's not about me. It's always him.
Well, what,
it's
let's
always
go to
him.
That one series you did about Job. This is a man that God in his own word said that Job is the most righteous man on earth. But his righteousness was based on his ability, and God had to constantly break him. But you know a point you just made, and Rand alluded to the same thing today. It doesn't just happen once. God's got to keep waking us up because the enemy is trying to get you to trust in yourself and not in God.
That's right.
And when God sees
that,
when God sees you're walking towards that horrible enemy, he will put things not to because you're a bad person, but he just doesn't want you to fall into that pitfall.
Yeah.
That's Raven. And in all honesty, the only reason I listen to you on Wednesday night is because I can see the same thing, the same Holy Spirit working in you as I can in Pastor Rand. It's not that I feel obligated or I'm repaying you for listening to being on this on. No, I'm almost 80 years old. I don't need to play those games. But when a person is talking with the Holy Spirit and when the Holy Spirit is talking to your weakness, you don't have any question knowing it's from God. I just listened to a very famous evangelist this morning while I went and, you know, took the car out and drove it a few minutes before we went to church. And hearing all of this, he had some people in there and on his program, and they're all complimenting each other to the point that I got tired of it. I turned it off. That's not the kind of thing I'm talking about. It's when a person is speaking to you and you know it's the Holy Spirit, even though it's their voice. And you know when God is talking to you, folks. It hurts, like Raven said. Just think of an abscess tooth if you ever had it. They can't work on the abscess tooth until they put Novocaine. And the first prick of the needle going in there before the Novocaine takes effect of any kind. When I say it hurts horrible. But as that Novocaine, which is the words of the, and again, you and him, you don't help by your wisdom. You're given the words of the scripture. And folks, I'm telling you, you can think I'm nuts, and maybe I am, think that we're just building, but I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit is speaking right to your weakness, and you know in your heart of hearts, even though you've convinced your husband, your wife, your brothers, your sisters, all the people you work with, especially the church people, that you walk on water, you know that you're wrong, and they give you something that helps you. You know it's the Holy Spirit. And I get that feeling from yourself, from Jim, and from this Pastor Rands. But it's not subtle. It's not that I have to get on and go into transcendental meditation, which I don't do or believe in, to find out if it's God talking to me. There's no question. Because one thing, when the Holy Spirit's talking to you, he comes right down to your most secret thoughts, thoughts you would never tell another person.
Yes. Yeah.
And you are good at that on Wednesday nights. That folks, if you want the Holy Spirit, she's very good at it. And I'm not saying that for any other reason than it's true. And Jim shares the same ability. But the commonality here, folks, is they're all going to the Word of God, not their own academic knowledge. The academic knowledge has run this country into the worst cesspool of morality this nation has ever been in.
That's true.
I'm bringing the people up to date here a little bit. Why don't you go, and I told them the first most serious verses I see in the Bible is Matthew 7, where he says to the people who taught in his school or his synagogue, they heal people, they cast out demons. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. The second most discouraging or saddest verses, again, to bring everybody up to date if they haven't listened to us before, in this series, go to 1 Samuel 8. Now, remember, the people of Israel have apostatized 9 times in 450 years. God has accepted them back 9 times. The 10th time, here's what's happened. Read 5 and 6.
All right. And said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make for us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord.
Go ahead with 9.
Now therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them.
Which Samuel did in verses 10 through 18. Read 19 through 22.
Yes. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city.
This is tragic. This to me is the second saddest verse in Scripture, sets of verses. The first one, he says, depart from me to the religious people. And that's when he says depart, he means it's final in the lake of fire. But this one, folks, you see, they went 450 years and God took them back nine times. The 10th time they said, we want a king. They didn't only apostatize this time. They said to Samuel, we no longer want a theocracy. We don't want God being our ruler. We want a man to rule over us, which to me is exactly a photocopy, a snapshot of the modern church today. They do not want God ruling over them. The word of the scripture is ridiculed from pulpits. I've got proof of it in writing that I've copied people's comments on Facebook sites. You can listen to it on YouTube. I can direct you to certain people. You could look up where they've said things like the script Bible is not pertinent to today. And I'm not going to get into that rambling again. We have done the same thing that these people have done. And the sad verse is 22. The Lord said to Samuel, give him a king. Don't let that happen in your lives, folks. Please. Please don't let it happen in your life. Does that mean God will...
And if it has happened, repent of it.
Yes. Now, let's go to Romans, because people say, well, I passed the line of demarcation. Read Romans 11, and I want you to go to verse 23. The same thing now. These people kept he's talking about the people of Israel, how they were cut off because of unbelief. And he says, and this is, Raven, exactly what you're saying. If you would go back to God, he will. The only time, there's only two times that God will never hear your repentance. Once, if you blaseme the Holy Spirit because you never repent because you have no Holy Spirit to convict you. And the other time is when you die. When you die, the final exam is turned in. But read verse 23.
And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again.
He's able to. The problem is, folks, the longer you play games with God, the less likely to repent you are, because you now start trusting in self. You see the problem?
Yeah.
That's why, Raven, you said he even with you. You're talking this week. You're telling us that I don't know when it happened, but he sent another trial into your life, obviously.
Yeah.
He's not doing it to be cruel. He's doing it to keep you from falling into this complacency where you may never want to repent again.
Yes.
Okay.
What I'm going through right now, Carl, is a long-term trial. And I know it's a long-term trial, and I know it's going to last quite a while.
I'm not to the point you are where I can handle it yet, which is why he hasn't given it to me.
Yeah, right. I'm already aware. I know what it is. I'm having to trust in him every single day, all day long in this thing. This is something that, he had to prepare me. He had to prepare me for this one by me going through the previous ones that you know of. And we won't get into all those again today. Right. But he had to allow me to go through these previous ones to get me into James 1, two through four. He had to get me through, you know, he had to get me through those so that I understood them in order for me to go through this long-term one. And this long-term one I'm going through right now, see, even though I'm going through it, I'm already counting it all joy. I'm already counting this all joy because I see the end. I know that no matter how long this takes, that I am having to stick with this with him, that I'm having to allow him to be in control of it. And I'm just, and every single time that I see myself starting to take it back, turning away, I'm like, yep, yep, okay, Lord, my bad, you know,
this is
my fault again.
Is this theoretically something, and I don't want to even know what the problem is, but is this theoretically something that you may not see a resolution to?
I mean, it's possible if I were to pass away in the next few years, but I don't think so, no. I mean, theoretically, yes, if I were,
hit
by a car or something.
What I'm trying to get to, Raven, though, in your mind, in your spirit, you're more willing.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to Hebrews 11. I'm going to give you two
mm-hmm.
verses. You're more
okay.
willing to trust God if these two, if this one situation were to happen. We're going to read two verses.
Okay.
Read 13.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm not to the point yet where I'm willing to say, God, I'll go through it without seeing a resolution. And he knows that. But go ahead.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Now, when it says here, hold on. When it says here, they did not receive the promises, but they saw them afar off. That means an eternity. Are you willing to wait till? Huh?
Actually, let me tell you what this one is. This is more James 1, 6 through 8.
Let's go to that.
Five through eight. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. This is what I'm going through right now is a promise from God. It is a promise that if I give this to him, it will happen. I have zero doubt that this is going to happen.
That's a little different. What he was approaching today is, are we willing to trust God's sovereignty if, like these people, it never comes about?
Right. And those were the two previous things I went through. Yes.
It's the same theory you're talking about, but you're putting a little – you're saying God is actually saying, if you do this, this will happen. Okay, I see the difference. Yep.
Yes. Yes, because, you know, I've talked about other things that I've trusted in God and said, even if it doesn't happen, I'm putting my faith in you. Even, and you know what I'm talking about, like things with my family and, health and stuff like this. This is a thing that God has told me. If you trust in me for this, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make this happen. But if you continue on your own, this is not going to work. Period. You must put your trust in me in order for this to happen. That's what this one is.
Raven, look at how many things he's brought you through to get you to the point where he can now trust you, where he can now give you this. If he were to give you this 5 years ago, you'd have probably fell out.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. This is how we work with the Holy Spirit. This is how we listen to the Holy Spirit and we walk in Him, and how we understand the difference between these situations even, and how we understand, okay, this is this kind of promise and this is this kind of promise. I know, and I can't explain how I know. I just know. I just know that in this instance, if I trust in Him completely, He will make this one happen. I know. I know.
Well, I think how you know it, Raven, and I may be reducing it to human, but the way you know is because just like why He told them to put stones in the creek, you've had God work in catastrophes in your life before, and He's come and He's never failed you.
Well, yes,
that's
this is true.
Way.
This is true.
I mean, I've actually, you're really at the point where, it, even though you may not like it, I honestly don't think it ever crosses your mind that God's not going to do what He says.
Well, that's true. Yes.
And it's
because of past experience.
It's based on past experience. But the point is, you never, until your heart stops, you never end on this thing. That's what he said that was good today. Folks, after you get through this trial, you may have a year, 5 years, 10 years, even though that's a long time. But God has got to continue to break you so you don't – look what He did to Job.
Yes. I mean, He strengthened my faith so much.
Amen.
That's
a good phrase. That's a good phrase for what we're talking. He strengthens it, not Carl.
Yes.
Not my commentary, not my Bible study, not my church, not my denomination, not my repeating after a certain person a prayer. He changes. He's the one.
Yes. And that really is the point of James 1, 2 through 4, that He
Absolutely.
Strengthens our faith through all this.
And that is the joy. I'm not there yet.
Yes.
I see it. I understand it, but I'm not there yet.
Yes, that is the joy. You're right. And this is, as you were talking about with my granddaughter, this is what she does not understand. She sees me. She sees me in pain. She sees me going through trials. And she doesn't understand how she can say to me, Gammy, are you happy? And I say, yeah, I am. I am happy. I have so much joy. And she doesn't get it. She doesn't understand it.
Well,
she doesn't understand it, but I keep explaining it to her.
But her story would have been a great way for Rand to today bring his sermon, or not sermon, his teaching on Hebrews 11 in, because that would have been a great little thing. Here you are and hurting all the time, and this 10-year-old is asking, are you happy? Because that's exactly what this whole teaching he did today for 40 minutes was about. That the happiness is not to be based upon circumstances because they change every hour or less.
Yeah. And this is what I've told her many times. It has nothing to do with what's happening around me. It's not about circumstances. It's about Christ. This is what I tell her continually. It's about Christ. It's about God in my life. I tell her this over and over. And she looks at me, you call a dog and they cock their head sideways with this inquisitive look on their face like, what? You know, she doesn't quite get it, but she keeps hearing it. She keeps hearing it. And one day when she is older, she's going to tell the same thing to her granddaughter or her daughter or you know what I mean? She's going to be repeating the same thing.
That is how we learn, yes. Yes. That's how we learn.
Yeah.
All right. That's a
faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen. No other way. Not by your favorite pastor. I'm sorry. Does a pastor serve a function? Yes. But understand, if you're truly born again, folks, there's no difference between you and your pastor. or any of us other than the different spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit, as he sees fit, gives us a gift. Your pastor,
yes.
If he's truly called by God and not by his own selfish, self-serving needs, but truly called by God, he is no more or no less responsible for what he does with those gifts than you or I are. But you
yes.
know what? In the churches, we only focus on one gift, and that's a pastor. And I'm telling you, read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 12 and 14, and you'll see that that is wrong. And I'm not going to go into that. I'm not trying to start a rebellion to bring down the churches as I've been accused of in the past, which is stupid because the one who did it, I went to the church for over 3 years every Sunday. I'm just telling you, folks, the way we are doing things today is backwards. Our
yep.
churches, with all these modern buildings and all these big budgets and all this tremendous money and all these programs, none of that is in the Bible about church building.
Yeah.
The only thing that well, the Bible about church building, New and the Old Testament, God added to their numbers daily as they were obedience. All right, we're going to go. We were turning. In fact, you know what? Just bear with me here. I've got to give the number to call in on. I failed to do that. It's 319 area code 527-6208. Toll free from anywhere in the continental United States from a landline or a cell phone. All right, we've read in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, and we read from like verse, I don't know, probably the whole chapter 4, so much of it, is about these people who went against tremendous odds. But every time they did what God said in the promised land, they would put away any evidence of sin. Any evidence of sin that cropped up among the people, if God told them to slay the people, they slay them. He told them to slay all the animals. Don't take any of them for their own selfish reason. When they did that, God gave them success. When they did not do that, God allowed them to fail. That's basically what the whole chapter 4 is. And Deborah was the last verse, the last judge that we had read about. Now let's go to Judges chapter 5, because I'm eventually going to go through Judges chapter 6. Let's start with, and this is after chapter 4. Let's go to where God gave them victory over their enemies, which they couldn't defeat. They were incapable of defeating them, but being they trusted God, he defeated them for them. Let's go ahead and pick up and start with Judges chapter 5, and let's read 1 through 5.
All right. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, "When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear,
say
O
that
kings,
again.
Give
say
ear."
That. Say that okay. again. I love that. What happened when the... What happened in Israel, and why did it happen?
When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord.
There you go. Keep going.
Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out...
Raven, that's your calling card.
Yes.
And again, not to build you up, but it just comes out of you. You can't help it.
You know,
I have to tell you something. If you're phony on this, you sure fake me out, but go ahead.
Let me tell you something interesting about what you just said. The other day, I was in the car with my granddaughter, and I was listening to some praise music, you know, and I'm singing along with it, you know, and I got out of the car. We were going over to the Y for to swim, And I got out of the car, and as I got out, I continued singing the song I was singing. And she looked at me and she said, "Gammy, why do you do that?" And I had no idea what she's talking about. And I said, "Why do I do what?" She said, "Why do you keep singing those songs?" And I said, "Because I love God and I get enjoyment out of it." And again, I get that quizzical look from her, you know, she doesn't understand. She said, "But why?"
No, I understand.
Yeah. She says, "But why?" And I said, "For the same reason that you asked me why I'm happy all the time, because he brings me joy and it gives me joy to sing back to him." And, you know, it gives me so much pleasure knowing that God is putting these questions in her mind, you know, and this is what this reminded me of. You know, I will sing praise to the Lord. You know, I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel, you know, and we, of course, are spiritual Israel. But this is something that she is seeing and God is putting into her mind. The Holy Spirit is putting this into her mind, you know, to see these things and to, you know, she's a child, but Christ said, you know, if we have this mind of a child, you know, this is exactly what we should have, you know, is this wondering mind of a child about God. And she sees this and wonders about it and is just amazed that someone can have this joy. And this is what we all should have. You know, we should have this, and I'm not talking about emotions like human emotions, you know. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord, which is different from human emotions.
Right, human emotions can change every 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, this has to do with loving him and praising him because we love him. You know, it's and if we do, if we continue to just praise him, whether we feel good in our flesh or not.
Very, very good point.
Even if we're having, a lousy day, you know. See, if we praise him, even if we're having a lousy day, he's going to put that joy inside of us. He gives us that joy through the praise that we give him. And I know it sounds kind of weird, you know. It does. It sounds kind of like what?
Raven, it doesn't sound weird. The modern teaching of the churches is that we've got to do something to motivate and build that joy. It's him that does it. We can't do it. But we have gotten people, Raven, we really do. We have gotten people in church programs today, and I've been through them for years, where we do all these different things to people to show them that they feel good, but it's a wrong feeling because those feelings change moment by moment, as well when God puts it in you, it stands up to all the, you know, like the, what was it, in the storms, where after a storm, your house will stand or it'll collapse. What one do you want, folks? We're not knocking church. I'm not critical. I go every week. I always have. I always will, I hope. But the point of the matter is no man can give me this. This is what Raven's trying to explain to a 10-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, by being obedient to him and praising him, even in the midst of those storms, you know, that's how we get that joy. And it's impossible to explain unless you just love him and are obedient to him and walk in the Spirit. And when you do this, around your children and your grandchildren and your brothers and your sisters and your family and everything, they begin to and I don't want to say this wrong because I don't want to give the wrong impression, but they will see that difference in you, and you can use that to give them the gospel. They're not going to just go, oh, that's God, and therefore I am now changed. So I don't want that to be seen as like, oh, just because you have joy, they suddenly are now saved, because they have to hear the gospel. There's too much of that. This experience.
Constant.
Yes, too much experience stuff. You know, they're not going to just get saved because they see God in you, but they can get saved because they see God in you and then ask you, what is this difference in you? Just like she asks me, what is this difference? And then I can give her the gospel.
Yes,
see, there has to be that third step in there. There has to be that other step in there where the gospel is given to them.
Oh, hold on,
though, Raven.
That's the step that's missing in the churches, because they now program you and they have classes teaching you how to bring about these other reactions and affirmations
from
people rather than pursuing Christ alone.
Right. Right. Or
the only one
or,
who can do this.
Right. Or just stand up and repeat this prayer after me. That's not salvation either. That's not salvation. You have to know who Christ is. You have to understand the substitution that he made on the cross for your sins. You have to understand what repentance is. And if you don't understand those things, then you don't know the gospel. And you have not been saved. If all you did was repeat a prayer,
Raven,
and then somebody said, okay, now you're saved. Mm-mm.
Mark 1:15 says exactly in red what you just said. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. He didn't say do either one. He didn't say do one or the other. And when he says the gospel, it's the gospel of repentance. And until you know you're a sinner, folks, you can't repent. There are so many people who think because they've done certain things in a church building, as they were instructed to. These are the folks, don't you realize, folks, these are the people who are at risk of going into Matthew 7:24 and 23, where they tell God, but God, I did this in your church, I did that, I bought about all this money, I did all these activities, and God says, depart from me, I never knew you. Folks, we got to wake up. The problem is, when someone talks like I talk, when I heard it in the beginning, I thought that person is arrogant. He's trying to get you to follow him. He's trying to just, no, we have no church. None of her and I don't. We have nothing. We have no following. We're just saying, folks, you've got to get with the Holy Spirit and ask him to show you. Are you truly born again by believing the true gospel? And the gospel is that you and I are sinners. The only thing we deserve is hell. And Jesus Christ took that from us by paying for it on the cross, and we must repent in order to believe it. Mark 1:15.
That's the gospel.
Repent and believe the gospel. Yeah, that is the true gospel.
Yes, that's
but
the gospel,
Raven,
right there.
This is very rare in churches. Very rare.
Yes. Yes, it is. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Too many people want the easy way out.
That's because the churches, Raven, are not telling them they should come in every week. You are a sinner. For those who haven't been here before, folks, we're not good people. We deserve hell, every one of us. Every one of us. We're not preached the Ten Commandments. Half the people, Raven, in churches that I've talked to, they say they still... People that go to big denomination churches, we're going to go to heaven. Why? Oh, because I've been a good person. I listen to people preaching at a, I'm not going to say that, because that's given, no, I better not. Go sometime to the next funeral you go to and listen to the testimonies about the person who's passed. He was a good person. Even the pastor gets up and tells how funny he was, how much he did for the church. Does anybody ever say, this man believed that he was a sinner and he had repented and accepted the free gift of salvation from the man on the middle cross? We don't hear this preaching in church because it doesn't tickle ears. And I'm not criticizing any pastor. I'm here telling you the one that I go to every week. I can't wait to get there to hear him, because every week he blows part of my scabs away that are festering.
Right.
But we've got to get this, folks. Yeah.
Yeah. The newest things is everybody is now saying that all their pets are going to go to heaven with them. I mean, pets don't have souls. Come on, people. You know, I mean, stop lying to everyone. The truth is that, and I'm not saying that there won't be animals. You know, we don't know any of that. Hold on. Yeah.
There is the heaven that exists now, where spirits are in the presence of God who believe in Christ, died believing.
Right.
That's now.
Yeah.
There's going to be the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign on earth where Christ rules from Jerusalem.
Right.
And that is going to have animals in that kingdom. The new heaven and new earth that will last for all eternity, there's no evidence of any animal life whatsoever. I'm not saying there's not. It's just silliness. Yeah, but it does say in the millennial reign, the lion and the lamb will reign peaceably together.
Right.
But you're right.
Yeah.
I hear people. In fact, I know someone who's very sincere, and they are really counting on the fact that their pets are going to go to heaven with them. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not sinful. But it's, again, the church has not done the job showing people not only this is silly to argue or even debate about pets, but it just shows you folks, we're not getting modern preaching anywhere near what should be. And that is, you've got to establish before we do anything else, before I teach you to speak in tongues, before I teach you to do this or do that, we have got to get down, folks, to where we convict each other by preaching the Bible, not because I'm being a hard nose or a super sophisticate and telling you, you don't walk in my walk and then I'm better than you. No. Give them the word of God, convict them that they're sinners, and let God do his job, because we can't do it. And the churches are teaching people how to make others happy. It even gets down to the stupidity. And I've got from our local newspaper years ago, where the section on Saturday where churches were putting their little bleeps in there to get people to go to their church, many of them were advertising better coffee than the other churches. This is insanity.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I just want to say something. Don't get me wrong, people. I'm not trying to tell you that the next time, you know, little Toto dies, to sit down in front of your child and say, no, you know, your dog has gone to hell, or no, you're never going to see your animal again, and put your child in tears. I'm not saying that. Right. I'm saying, you know, maybe the best thing is just to say, well, you know, we don't really know what happens to animals when they die, or, you know, or whatever. But as adults, as adults and as Christians, you know, we need to stop with the fairy tales. That's what I'm saying. You know,
but
as
Raven,
Christian
the
adults.
They do, Raven, because they have not even, they don't know. I had someone ask me the other day, the Bible mentions heaven. What is it talking about? Have you ever, have anybody ever sat down with you and where Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? That's right now.
Right.
But the millennial reign is going to be Jesus Christ is going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. And then after that happens, the present earth and the heaven are going to disappear. And there's going to be a new heaven. But we take these little things like the streets of gold, or we're going to be walking. Carl died yesterday, and he's right now on the streets of gold. No, he's not. He's just physically, right. His body is in the grave. His spirit is in the presence of God. We don't know anything about the current place we called heaven. Very little is
right.
said other than to be away from the body is to be present with the Lord. But the point Raven's making is we say these little quips and people are, and it's a stupid thing we're even arguing about or debating. You've got to go to the Bible, folks. If this points out,
right.
if there's any merit to this conversation, it points out that we got to go to the scripture, not to what man says.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Josh, I heard that. You remember Rich? You remember Gene's husband,
yeah.
Rich?
No,
okay,
I never actually met
away,
him.
Okay, but when he passed away, we went to the church, and there's several ministers, and each one of them were talking about where what he's doing right now. And their son-in-law
mm-hmm.
actually got upset because he said he's walking on streets of gold. And he said to me, that's
yeah.
wrong. And I says, it is. But don't argue with them. They don't even know themselves. We want
right.
to make people feel good, folks. Christ did not die
yeah.
on this earth to make you feel emotionally good. He died on this
exactly.
earth to lead you to repentance and salvation.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Well, let's go
exactly.
back to where we were because I've gotten off on a tangent here. It just shows, folks, we got to get back to the Bible. And I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Even though I go to church every week and the pastor I listen to, I can't wait every Sunday because I know he's only going to give me something from the Bible. No sermons that he brushed the dust off of. No sermon.com. He comes up every week through many hours of study with scripture. This is what we've got to give people. And what Raven is talking about, her experiences in this 10-year-old, folks, that's where we got to get ourselves. You know, most people, in fact, I would go back, say, 5-6 years ago, I was probably in the same mentality this 10-year-old is now. I'm just starting to hear these things, and it's starting to register. Because I can't beat addictions to alcohol. I can't beat addictions to drugs. I can't beat addictions to pornography. I can't beat addictions to lust. And I look at these other people and what the Bible says that you can be delivered. But I go to church and they tell me, you're a good person, Carl. All you got to do is repeat a prayer after me. No, that
mm-hmm.
is not biblical. Is the prayer
right.
a good prayer? Yes, it is, if you believe you're a sinner. We've got to get back, folks, because too many of these people in church on Sunday might hear Matthew 7:24. I never knew you. But, God, I raised money.
Yeah.
I taught. I healed people. I spoke in tongues. I never knew you. And when he says that, baby, you know, like the old Yogi Berra, the catcher of the Yankees back in the 50s and 60s, late 40s and 50s, he said, it ain't over until it's over. But when God tells these religious people who have been majoring on feelings rather than repentance, and they have been buying into the false gospels they've been hearing, when he says to these people, depart from me, I never knew you, it is over. And that, if that doesn't make you sad, nothing will.
Yeah.
Nothing. Am I criticizing a church? No. I'm not. You don't even know where I am. I don't have a church in mind. I'm criticizing the false security blankets that people are going to give you. It's a security blanket that's dipped in gasoline. When you put it on to keep the fire off of you, it's going to burn you forever. It's never going to end.
Man.
Well, let's go back to where we were in with Deborah in chapter 5 of Judges. And
we just finished verse 3.
Yeah, and that was a good. You will sing to
yeah.
the Lord. I will sing praise. Well, what if you've got a fatal disease that in a few years is going to take your life? You're still going to sing praise because it's not built on emotion or circumstance. This
yes.
sounds impossible,
yes.
but I believe it. The reason I believe
yes.
it is I know people who exhibit this in the face of disaster.
Yes. Okay, you know who that brings to mind, Carl? That brings to mind Diane. Remember Diane?
Oh, what an example that was. The lady has been dying slowly since the 70s. Yes,
yeah.
Does it ever.
Yes.
And the
yeah, she was a wonderful, wonderful.
Lesson, and the one who died about 8 months later was her husband, and he told me
yeah.
that he learned so much with her going through suffering for 40 years.
Yeah.
And he was right. He did. He basically said that he learned everything about this from his own wife.
Yeah.
She was the – I've never seen a better, a longer example. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, she was – and I'll tell you something.
Good example.
As I,
good example.
Yeah, and as I was going through things as well, through the things that I was going through, she was a wonderful example to me. Yeah, wonderful example to me. Yeah.
Did she ever talk?
Just amazing. Yes. Yeah, I spoke to her a few times about these things,
okay.
And she just was just amazing. Yeah, just really – I knew, it's funny, because I knew even without having to ask her, I knew that there was something that she had that I wasn't quite there yet. Back a few, this has
hey,
been a
welcome,
few years ago.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, this was when I first started going to that church,
Heritage.
To those studies.
Yep.
Yeah. I knew that there
well,
was that,
you,
and I wanted it.
Example. You picked a perfect
yeah,
example.
I wanted that. I wanted that. It was like the situation between Addison and I just said her name, between my granddaughter and I, that same
oh,
situation. I was like, You're just, I could tell she was happy all the time. She had this joy, even though there were times she, you know, obviously didn't show up at studies and everything, but I never knew she was going through very similar pain and stuff that I was going through. I never knew it. I never knew it because I never saw it in her at Bible. I never saw it in her. She was, I only saw the joy. I only saw the joy. Yeah. Wonderful,
now,
wonderful.
Now, what did that do to you? What that did to you is it made you want what she had.
Oh, yes. Even though I was already saved, I didn't have that same...
Nope, I understand.
That same joy, yeah, that she had, and I wanted it.
In
I
fact,
wanted
Raven,
it. It made me...
Raven... Until you're
yeah.
saved, God can't give you this.
Right, right. But it made me study Scripture more. It made me pray more. It made me go to the Lord more because I wanted what she had. Yes. Yes.
You brought up an excellent example. I hadn't thought of her, and I should have. All right, let's go to verse 4 and 5. Now, remember, this
right.
is Deborah, a judge.
Yes. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord, this Sinai before the Lord God of Israel.
Do we really believe that even nature, God is so powerful, so sovereign. I don't think these are, I you can look at this and say these are exaggerations. No, I don't know that they're exaggerations.
No. Everything obeys him.
There
everything
is.
That,
that's
is,
a good way of putting. No, that's a good way of putting it. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. All right, let's go to six.
Everything is obedient to his word.
Yep.
Yes.
You know what? Look at Hebrews. Let's go to, just read 5 again, and then I'm going to have you go to Hebrews 12.
Okay. The mountains gushed before the Lord. This Sinai before the Lord God of Israel.
All right.
Yeah.
Now what I want you to do is I want, these are our problems, folks. The mountains melted before the Lord, Sinai before the Lord God. Verse 4, when you marched out of the field of earth, the earth trembled, the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. I want you to read Hebrews 12, which is talking about the after the faith chapter, the discipline, the chastising, etc., and read verse 18 mm-hmm. through 21.
All right.
This is when it,
for you have,
I'm not, we hold on, we said before, are these really the earth, the trembling and the mountains collapsing? I don't know. I think what it's referring to, folks, the mountains are problems. Just look at what she's going to read in Hebrews 12, 18 through 21. And when your faith is in God and you're singing praise to the Lord in verse 3, no matter what your circumstances are, I think that these things that are trembling, the heavens drop, the clouds drop water, the mountains melted before the Lord. I think what that's showing is this is where your problems will disappear, even though they physically are still there. They are no longer a stumbling block to you when you're truly singing praise to the Lord no matter what's happening. Now go ahead and read Hebrews 12, 18 through 21.
For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded.
Hold on, that's a real mountain. That's a real mountain.
Yes.
But it is symbolic of the mountains in our life that I believe he's referring, the Bible's referring to in Judges chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Now here's the mountain we come to. Go ahead with 20 and 21.
For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be turned, it shall be stoned or thrust through with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling.
Okay, now here's the mountain that we come to in the New Testament. Read 22 through 24.
But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him.
Yeah, go ahead. Then we'll stop.
Oh,
go ahead.
See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven.
Do you see what this is saying? We come not to a mountain that trembled, not to a mountain that is described so vividly here in 18 through 21. But we come to the Mount Zion, which is the heavenly Jerusalem, a numeral company of angels. Just think of the mountain you're coming to, the assembly of the firstborn, which is Jesus Christ, the spirit of just men made perfect. And to who's on that mountain? Jesus, the mediator of new covenant, and to his blood that was sprinkled for us, and speak better things than that of Abel. You see what it's saying is verse 25. Don't, folks, don't dare refuse that mountain you're coming to now, which is Jesus Christ, who has the ability to make chapter 5 of Judges 5 and 6, which means the mountains will melt before you.
Yeah.
The highways, just think of that. The earth trembled. The heaven drops. The cloud. This mountain that you come to now, Jesus Christ, is capable of doing anything. Trust in him. And the warning of verse 25 is don't dare walk away from this just thinking this is an ancient story in history. This applies to you right now. This is telling me, Raven, that if you and I don't get serious about looking to God and trusting him in everything, we could be in for trouble, because that's what 25 is saying. 25 is, read that again. That is saying don't ignore what God is putting you through to get you to focus on him and his sovereignty, not your stupid circumstances.
Yes. See that you do not refuse him. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven.
So when God is giving you these situations in Hebrews 12, like he gave to Job, don't turn away or try to escape them.
Yeah.
God is allowing you to go through it because he doesn't need. We must have reliance on him. It says, be holy as he is holy. I can't be holy as he's holy by practicing what my church says. I've got to have him actually, I've got to be willing to trust him in every situation there is. To the message we started an hour and 20 minutes ago. Count it all joy when you go, why do you think James is not nuts? I don't think James was drunk. James says count it all joy. Why? Because God is giving you this stuff not to hurt you, but to break you from your own self-control, because your own self-control will lead to what? It'll lead to you being the one who violates verse 25. Read Hebrews 12:25 again. We don't want to get this point.
See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven.
In the Old Testament, if you go back to what we read there in Hebrews 12, 18 through 21, these people did not escape judgment when they wouldn't go near a mountain. But that was only an earthly mountain to get the warning. Now, if you refuse Christ now, who is in heaven, he's the mediator of the new covenant. He gave up his blood in verse 24. If they escape not which to him that spoke on earth, how much more will you not escape? And who's the one who spoke on earth? It was Moses.
Yes.
If they suffered because they wouldn't, how much more are we to the heavenly Zion, the heavenly mountain? Do you see the consequences, folks, if we try to cover up all our bad things and we try to do all the little gizmos that we're given in Bible studies to make us feel better? Christ did not die to make Carl feel better. He died for Carl to realize he is nothing but a sinner. He's going to hell. That's all he deserves. But Jesus Christ took that punishment. But he's got to even, Raven, the key to this whole study is you just made a little parenthetical statement. You said that after you were saved, you had to go through this. That's the key. The moment you're born again, he starts working on you. And he never stops.
Yes.
He can't, because if he stops, we're going to do what? We're going to violate verse 25 of Hebrews 12. We're going to try to escape. If they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that speaks from heaven, which is Jesus Christ? That's what God is doing. Chapter 25 or verse 25 of Hebrews 12. That's why Raven's parenthetical statement 10 minutes ago, it wasn't until she was born again. But as soon as she was born again, God had to start this in her, because he died to bring her to heaven, not to make her life on earth one of constant pleasure. You see this, folks. Everything on this earth, he's trying to get you to do what? He's trying to get you to allow him to work these things in your life. So when you see trials and tribulations and persecution, and you said in the beginning, Raven, you could go through this for a year or two, that is not something that's going to draw a crowd. But that's not something people want to hear. But God is doing it to you because he knows if he doesn't, you could fall into apathy. You could fall into what the Israelites did for 450 years. You could go into apostasy. That is what he's trying to keep us from, doing the very same thing that his own people Israel did for 450 years. They walked away from him nine times. The tenth time, they not only walked away, they said, we don't want God ruling us anymore. He doesn't want that to happen to us. This is where the joy I see that James talks about, because you know that even you're going through something that's a little unpleasant, that God is holding you right in his arms, right up against his chest.
Yeah.
Now, I'm lecturing.
Always.
Guess whose hide that I'm most interested in? It's me. And I have started the program myself saying I'm not too far progressed in this yet. I am telling me that I've got to look at these trials as a blessing from God, not a curse.
And we do, exactly. That's exactly right.
We have to
see them as a blessing.
We have to.
Yes.
But it's not something I can do through psycho-cybernetics or psychology. It's something that I can only do by going to the foot of the cross with this verse 25.
Amen.
If there's Scott, no, not 25, excuse me, 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to his blood that he sprinkled. It's only through him. And cooperating with his chastisement in Hebrews chapter 12, it's only through that I'm going to progress. Now, I have a choice. Raven, you have a choice. You could tell God to go pound salt, and many do. And those people are the ones that he said in Hebrews 3, they've never entered my rest on earth. They will never enter my rest. Are you willing to go through that gamble? Not that God's punishing you. It's just you walk away. You're not willing. I think another very sad verse, Raven, read John 6:66. This is another very sad verse. In fact, I think 65. I had you read this Friday, and I think you read 65 first.
Hold on here.
Let's go, John 6.
Let me get there.
And I want to read 65. I think you read that first.
And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more.
These were his disciples. Or you could say, like the cliche does, oh, they were never saved to begin with. Folks, you say whatever you want. Go to the Bible. These were his disciples. Like I've heard, Judas was never saved. Do you really believe that, anybody? Really believe that? The man had spiritual gifts. The man worked for how many long with Christ, followed him. But he was not willing to be broken. He wanted to still retain the destiny. He wanted to be his own king ruling over himself. God is doing this, folks, to break us from our own self-control, because it's going to destroy us spiritually, and spiritual is eternal. Depart from me, I never knew you. That's on Judgment Day. That is not just take a break while we have a coffee and a cigarette. That means forever. This is the whole purpose of everything in Judges. It's all coming back to Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews 12 in the book of Judges is synonymous. It's God speaking to us, Old Testament, New Testament. Nothing's any different. The exhortations and the commands of God are the same. Okay, you know what we'll do? We'll stop here. We'll come back. Make a note for next week. We'll start with Judges chapter 5, verse 1 again. We won't have to explain it all the way we're done now.
Okay.
Well, we can start with verse 6. The highways run.
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, we could do that because we're going to see where this Deborah, the judge, she was really, really trying to do what God had told her to tell the people to do. But the people would not. Remember, after Deborah, even though they listened to her for a little bit, what happened? They went into apostasy. It culminated in what Raven read in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 5, 6, and then we went, what was it, 19 through 22. I want a judge. I don't want God anymore. And folks, we said that to God in most of churches of Christianity. Most Christian churches that are ordaining same-sex marriages, performing them, threatening to pull your money. And this is a real-life situation, a major denomination. If you don't go with gay and lesbian ministry and you don't buy same-sex marriages, this one major denomination has issued a warning to this one big church in our area. They will cut you off financially. This is a major denomination, and they have come out about a year and a half ago and put it out. They have decreed that this is their new stance. I'm telling you, I'm not here to criticize a denomination. In fact, when I became a believer in 1986, it was through this denomination that I heard a man of God give me the gospel of repentance. Turn from sin, turn to God. But I'm telling you, we are going haywire in the churches today.
Yeah. Very sad.
You know what? We got another 2 minutes. You want to say any more, and then we'll say a final prayer. And
well, I want to, the only thing I want to say, Carl, is that this Hebrews, 12, 24 and 25 brought me to something in Job. And I'm actually, I'm in Corinthians right now, but it God showed me something that I'm going to have to do a study on now because of it. But it's Job 40, verse 8 and 9. Actually, 8, 9, and 8, 9, 10, and 14. I don't know if we have time here. Probably not. But God is talking to Job, and he said, would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified?
Yes.
Have
that's
you
exactly
an arm like God?
God is trying to, that's exactly what we're talking about the whole program. God is trying to get us not to do that.
Yes. Yes.
No,
have you an arm like God? Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. He's saying, let's see you do what I do. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. And he's telling Job, listen, you're so full of pride. You're so self-righteous. You think that you are so great, but it's all self-righteousness.
And that's what he's trying to break us. That's every trial you've gone through and are now going through. He's trying to, and it's going to continue till we die.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, we're into the other person's program. If there is another program coming on, and I know I've been told to schedule for 180 minutes, even though we're only 90. So why don't you say a prayer of thanksgiving for guidance? Because this is deep. This is deep, folks. This is about eternity. Go ahead.
Father, we thank you so much for breaking us of our own self-righteousness and our own pride. We give you all the glory, and we stand here in joy knowing that because you come to us and break us of our pride, because you allow us to go through trials, we can have joy knowing that you do it for our good, because it will strengthen our faith in you and bring
us
closer to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, and if there's another program coming on, we've taken 2 minutes of your time, but we're off now. Raven, thanks for your time. See you next week.
Thank you, Carl. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.